Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, yes sir, I understand, but do you actually have the word yes in your vocabulary?
I guess it started when I was a kid. If you said I couldn't do it, I did. Always had a stubborn streak. Put a wall in front of me, and I'll find a way to get around it. There was a friend who said I'd never make the team. A lot of small town talk had said I'd never leave. Oh, and you know who you are. You all played a part in pushing me on to my dream. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. My music for a man behind the desk. He said, sorry, what you got? I just don't get. Oh, but here I am today, standing on this stage, and I wonder even now if he gets it. Yeah, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. One who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home, boy. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Told me no.
We'll get back to you on that, son. Just keep trying. I'm not sure that you actually look like a star.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. And that was, I just want to thank everyone who told me no. Because, ladies and gentlemen, people have told me no all of my life. They tell me I was too short, too dumb, too stupid, too uneducated, couldn't write, couldn't bounty hunt, couldn't go back to college. Oh, threw in that I was a bad mother. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I just want to thank them all. Because those of you who follow this show, follow me on Facebook, follow me on social media, y'all have seen what I do. And this show is for all of y'all. My guests that keep coming back, the listeners that listen every single day. Every day they listen in archives, they listen to the podcast. I am so utterly grateful to each and every one of you. And my guest tonight wanted to reschedule her show, so I decided that tonight would be a night of music and musings. I'll be playing some of the music that is near and dear to me by some of my favorite artists, indie and traditional. And the reason why I have picked these particular songs, we have just passed our first year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. We have been on the show for 1 year and a few days. When I started this, I had no idea where this show was going to go, how it was going to get there, whether it would even be successful or not. I just knew that it was a dream I'd had for 5 years. I can no longer get out and do a lot of events because my husband is disabled and I have to take care of him, because I made a commitment. When I said my vows and I said I do in sickness and in health, for rich or poor, for poor, I meant those vows. And I think as a society that when we make a commitment to something, whether it's a relationship, a job, or even a debt, that we don't go in with our eyes open and committing ourselves to that obligation, responsibility, relationship, whatever. We just, okay, if we get tired of it, if it gets too much, we toss it out. That is not how I was raised, ladies and gentlemen. I was raised that when you make a commitment, that you see that commitment through. So when it got to the point that I could not go out and do the events like I did before, because my top priority is and always will be the man that I love. He has supported me through my signature design collection on Vita, my books, my radio show, my dreams. He has been my biggest supporter. And for that, I love him even more than I did the day I married him. And I appreciate him beyond measure. When you as a human being can feel that way about another human being, and you put their needs, their wants, their desires, and their just their being before you, that, ladies and gentlemen, is unconditional love. I'm not saying that the road is easy, because it is not. But I'm saying that we take today and we honor today and we have today and we're grateful for today, because tomorrow we may not have it. It's just a fact of life. So with that being said, I want to give you guys some numbers. As I said, this show is it drives itself. It's a runaway train and there's no engineer at the helm. We're just on it for the ride. When I ran the numbers this morning on Blog Talk alone, just Blog Talk, we have 26,398 listeners, ladies and gentlemen. 26,398 listeners just on the show, with my greatest listening base coming out of the wonderful country of Australia. They are on my bucket list, because one of these days I am going to go to that wonderful country and hopefully thank every one of them that I can find. When you add all the podcasts this show is heard on, it's heard on iTunes, on Stitcher, YouTube, it's heard on FM.com, TuneIn Radio, it's heard on Podcast, Podcast Garden, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and a host of other podcasts that I don't even know about. We're at 38,842 listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, we are almost to 40,000 listeners worldwide, 70-plus countries. I am so, so grateful, humbled, and appreciative to every single one of you. So keep listening, keep passing the show along. Let's go for the goal. Let's go for 40,000, 50,000 by the end of the year. I see no reason why we can't. because I already have shows booked up through the end of February. I'm booking shows through March, April, and May. So if you want to be on the show, you have a passion, you have a business, you just want to talk for an hour, you have a book, music, artwork, contact me on Off the Chain Radio. I'll put you on the show. The show is not scripted. I do not do a scripted show simply because I learn about people when it's off the cuff, and it's a lot more fun because we are the brand. What we sell, our passion, that's not the brand. We are the brand, and people want to know about us. So contact me. Let's get a dialogue going. We'll even do a debate as long as it's in good taste. I don't bash people. I don't bash other people's faith. I don't bash other people's political persuasion, sexual persuasion, but we'll have a dialogue. So if you want to be on the show, contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com and let's get you on the air. Now, if you want to be a sponsor for the show, go to advertisecast.com and look up Off the Chain. My prices are reasonable. I will run your ad for a month. I do 4 shows a week, and I will run that ad for a month on those 4 shows. And I promise you, you will have a reach because 70-plus countries, 38,000-plus listeners globally. Yeah, people are listening to us. Tonight, there are several things going on in my life. And one of the most amazing things is people have reached out to me because I do write true crime and because I am a voice for the victims, because I tell it like it is, ladies and gentlemen. I don't soft code anything, especially in my true crime. And the reason for that is because it is about the victims and their families. It is not about the criminals. The criminals have no redeeming virtues at all. They consciously did what they did on purpose. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they can't say, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. You did it yourself. You made a conscious decision to hurt someone else. So, in the course of doing this radio show, I have a very good friend of mine who lives in Georgia who also has her own radio show. It's called, I think it's Internet Radio, and her name is Paige Roberts. And she said, Yvonne, you need to contact this woman. So I did. She had been on Paige's show, and apparently, she had lost some family members. She'd lost a brother in 1967, and then in 2003, she'd lost her father. Well, as I got to talking to Phyllis and finding out the story, her father and her brother lived in Mississippi. And the brother's death was deemed a suicide. I said, okay. Then the father's death was deemed a suicide all those years later. In between time, there was a double murder. And the Phyllis kept saying, they didn't commit suicide. My brother was coming to stay with me. I was going to Mississippi to pick him up. He was excited. There's no way he committed suicide. So I said, Phyllis, I'll write the story. Get me the information. Well, she did. She called me. We had a long conversation. We will be having more conversations. And the more that I listened to her, and after I got the paperwork, the more I read the paperwork, the more I'm saying, this stinks. There is something rotten in Mississippi. In the meantime, I had a conversation with another woman who had also lost her child in Mississippi, in Gulfport, where Phyllis had lost her father and brother. Bonnie Ledoux's daughter was also called to suicide. The same coroner, the same police department, the same sheriff's department worked the case. Now, I have a problem with all of this because I keep getting more stories out of Gulfport, Mississippi, where all these people allegedly committed suicide. You cannot tell me that all of these people hate living that much. Bonnie sent me some of the case files. I'm waiting on the rest. She sent me information, and I'm reading this, and I'm reading what has been posted in some of the internet criminal sleuth blogs. I'm looking at the crime scene photos, and ladies and gentlemen, they are not pretty. Believe me, they are not pretty. And I'm going, this makes no sense any more than Phyllis Cook's brother and father made any sense. It is not logical. So I am researching and getting ready to write 4 true crimes. One takes place in Indiana, where a young man was run down on purpose in front of his mother because he allegedly knew too much. We don't know about what, but he knew too much. Then there is another alleged suicide in Pass Christian, Mississippi. I do not know what is going on. With Bonnie Ledoux's daughter, there was no autopsy done until they took her to New York, took her body to New York for the funeral, and her parents had another autopsy done. Well, that's all well and good, except the autopsy should have been done the day Bonnie was found. Not Bonnie, but her daughter was found. It was not done. The coroner walked in. His name's Gary Hargrove. And everything that I've read about Mr. Hargrove is less than stellar. He walked in the house. An hour and a half later, walked out of the house, said suicide case closed. If you look at the crime scene photos, it's a little hinky because it looks like it has been staged. But there were no interviews. There was no autopsy. There was no photographs to amount to anything. There were no ballistics run on the guns or the bullet casings or the bullets. When Phyllis's brother allegedly shot himself, that gun has never been found. The 410 has never been found. But yet the coroner said he shot himself with a 410. But there was no 410 at the crime scene. He took that statement from someone by the name of Jeffrey Bass and used it as gospel. This is what I deal with, ladies and gentlemen. These voices are screaming at the top of their lungs to be heard because they are not getting any justice. They may never get justice in the judicial system, but they will be heard. They will be heard because their voices will be heard in their books. Maybe once the books are out, the families can find some kind of peace. These 4 families, and then I just got another one today, where a father is looking for answers for his son. Now, I know, ladies and gentlemen, that suicide is hard to accept. I understand that. I get it. This is my background. But when the evidence is shaky at best and looks like that it has been manipulated at worst, and people are not following through with normal protocols, that's when you start questioning things. That's when you start asking what happened, where was the breakdown? Because a young man who's getting ready to go visit his sister, who's all packing and all excited, does not commit suicide. It does not happen. When a young woman is all excited about coming to Florida to be with her parents, she does not commit suicide. And when people that are interviewed, her friends that are interviewed, talk about seeing verbal and mental abuse in this woman's relationship with her husband, that raises red flags to me all day long. So pay attention. You're going to see some new books coming out soon, and I hope and pray that the victims will continue to guide me, as my victims always do, to at least give the family some peace. And hopefully, if no place else but in the books, they get justice for what has happened to them. Which brings me to my next point. In Portland, Oregon, an illegal alien that had been deported 22 times, raped and just totally destroyed a woman. If any of you have read Justice for Cindy, that true crime takes place in the state of Oregon. And the sad part is, their justice system is so non-existent that the man that killed Cindy, who was her husband, he executed her while she slept. He cut her body up into 6 different parts. And then he dropped her body parts off in the Columbia River like she was fish chum. Only served 25 years. Then when he got out, he proceeded to sexually assault his granddaughter and his niece. The man should have never gotten out of prison the first time. He should have gotten life without parole. But sadly, Oregon thinks that criminals can be rehabilitated. And this is what happens. Lives are lost. Families grieve. And things never, ever are the same again. So with that, I'm going to play a song that was written and performed by my nephew, Mark Stokes. And I'm going to... This song has special meaning to me because at the beginning of a song is a heartbeat. It is my deceased granddaughter's heartbeat. So for all of you families out there that are suffering, that feel like you have not received justice, and I am working with you on these books, this song I dedicate to you, to Phyllis Cook, to Bonnie LaDue, and to all the other parents out there that I'm working with.
I'm the music god CJ Plain, and if you're looking for a...
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Footprints in the Heart from my friend and nephew Mark Stokes, and at the end was the heartbeat of our little Raymonda, who we lost 2 years ago, but she is still with us in so, so, so many ways. I also now want to play you a song that another friend of mine wrote. His name is Ken Tucker, and he has been on the show a couple of times, and it's called Killer's Mind, and I want you to listen to this song because it describes killers perfectly, and it also describes the fact that they cannot ever, ever be rehabilitated.
A
That was my friend Ken Tucker, and that's one of his many songs that he wrote called Killer's Mind. You can find him on, I think, Reverb Nation. You can also find him on Facebook. Look him up. He has some excellent, excellent music, as does my nephew Mark Stokes. You can also find Mark on Facebook, and you can see him live up in Dahlonega, up in that area in Georgia. So check both of those guys out. Now, back to what we were talking about. Killers who are cold-blooded killers have no heart. It's like Ken said, they have a heart of stone. They don't care. They don't care who they hurt, how they hurt them, when they hurt them, or have any remorse at all. So when I write my true crimes, my true crimes are not sanitized. I refuse to sanitize them. If you want to know about who their favorite actor was, or where they went to school, or who their best friend was, or what they had for dinner, you're not going to get it, because that's not the story. The story is what was done to them and their families and the people they loved. And it is written in such a way that, yeah, it might turn your stomach. It might make you angry. And I have gotten hate mail for that. But if you're not going to be true to the victims, what's the point? We have too many sanitized true crimes. We whitewash it. And some writers have even been known to glorify the criminal. They don't deserve glorification, because what they did was steal something that was not theirs to take. Case in point, I go back to Justice for Cindy. He stole. Donald Richardson stole Cindy's life. In the case of Bonnie Lou, they stole her daughter's life. In the case Phyllis Cook, they stole her father and her brother's life. In the case of the 9 victims of Silent Scream, my first true crime, Gerard Schaefer stole those girls' lives and enjoyed every minute of it. In the case of the Last Rites, those 3 men stole Polly Mettler's life. And you can't get a life back, ladies and gentlemen, once it's gone. And for many, many families, there's never, ever any closure. There's a hole that can never be filled. There's a tear that will never stop falling. So when someone says to you, if you've had a loss like that, or any loss, and they say, well, get over it. No, ladies and gentlemen, you don't get over it. You move on, but you don't get over it. So with that being said, let's move on to some more fun things, since we're only on here for an hour. In honor of my Australia friends and the fact that they support me so, so much, I want to play a couple of songs by a band called the Kersey Brothers. And before we do that, we have a caller. Hello, this is Yvonne.
Hello.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. You get to listen to the Kersey Brothers. Hold on a second.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I was just fixing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend Chris Plain. He and I share the appearances on his show and mine. So I said, if you want to call in, call in. So let's listen to Louisa by the Teske Brothers.
Louisa, please don't drink that red, red wine. Louisa, please don't drink that red, red wine. I tell you in the morning you'll be fine. Louisa, please don't drink that red, red wine. Please don't break that bottle on my head. Please don't break that bottle on my head. I don't want no other woman, no other woman in my bed. So please don't break that bottle on my head. I ways I feel for down I wouldn't move. Hey, the ways I feel for down I wouldn't move. The ways I honey baby, you know I've been a fool. The ways I feel for down I wouldn't move. The ways I feel for down I love jungle. Hey, the ways I feel for down I love jungle.
There you are. I lost, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely things of internet. My internet went down, so I had to wait for it to come back up. I am so, so sorry, Chris.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm glad you carried on. I'm glad you carried on without me.
I thought maybe
it went down. I'm going, oh, shit. So then I had to dial in because I couldn't get my microphone to work, so now I'm on the telephone. But thank you for calling in and having my back. You always have my back.
I try to.
Yes, you do. You did that so well. You just picked right up, and I heard you say about it being unmuted. It was the internet. It had a brain fart. We're having storms down here. So what do you think of the show so far?
From what I've heard, I love it. I was kind of, half listening. I was working on getting my stuff ready for tonight to record, and finally got some ambition and getting my own stuff recorded after so long of kind of procrastinating. And
well, it's time you get back to doing. It's time for you to do what you do, ladies and gentlemen. Chris has three shows. He has Six Ways to Sunday. The dirt, something about the dirt road.
No, that's actually the. The old name of what Six Ways used to be, used to be Back Roads Radio.
Oh, that's right.
I have Motor City Glam Slam, which is a sort of a hair metal 80s rock theme show. And then I have Riot on the Set Radio.
That's it.
Which is the heavy stuff.
The heavy, heavy stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all have to watch for him. And if you're not friends with him, go on Facebook and become friends with him. And again, I apologize because the internet went down. I hate it when it does that down here. AT&T, take note. You were on notice. So I want to play somebody that I don't know if you've heard before or not. She is a friend of mine. And she creates her own music. She's also an author. She's, you name it, this woman does it. Her name is Andrea Dean Van Skoik. And I got to find it. I know it's on here because I put it on the playlist. But now I've just lost my my mind, which is nothing unusual. I'm all the time losing my mind. Well, let's see if I can find. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah. That's the story of my life.
I don't know what I did with her. But anyway, so while I'm looking for Andrea's song, tell me what you've been up to.
I am getting back to the radio thing. I'm working on my book, which is it's kind of taken a right turn, if you will, from what it was going to be originally to what it is going to end up being. I've decided to kind of take the character and go in a different direction with it, and I think it'll be a lot more of my style, as well as something that I think is different, and it's sort of a topic or a subject that isn't really covered much. So I think that's going to be a good thing. I'm getting my web page set back up and going again. And we just finished, finally got the show about Ramonda and child loss and all that recorded, and
that was
got that up
show.
For everyone
that,
to hear.
That was, you outdid yourself, my friend.
Yeah, it's that was a tough show. I started it a couple times and just kind of was like, you know what, I'm not quite ready.
He keeps saying he's going to throw in the towel. He hasn't put the show up. Okay, now I got to give him a swift kick in the behind. So that's why I sent you that message. Look, just put the damn shows up on off the chain.
Yeah.
And you're still welcome
to
do that.
Yeah, and I hadn't even had it recorded yet to put up. I had all the music ready, and I had the interview edited and all of that. I sat down a couple times to record it, and I started recording my parts about Rosalind. And as you heard, even in that part, as much as I tried to kind of rein it in, it's hard. As you know, it's not something you get over. And even now, 6 years later, I break down and I cry. And, some of those songs that I put in there, I did it, one, because of the relevance, and two, because it's a challenge to myself to hear those songs. The song that I ended with, the Danny Gokey song, I still, every time I hear that song, I am an absolute ball of tears. That song just rips my heart out. But I put it in there because, as when you listen to that song, there's no other way I could imagine ending that show.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to that show, it's Six Ways to Sunday, and it talks about the loss of a child. Before our night gets away, let me throw this song on because I promised Andrea I would play. It's called Red Alert, and I want you to hear her music. It's all done electronically with her. I think you'll be impressed. Hold on, darling.
Cool.
bullet, baby. Come on.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Andrea Dean Van Squeak's Red Alert. Now, you got to, when she gave me that title, I'm seeing all kinds of strange things in my head.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool sort of tribal electro style.
Yeah.
Got going on.
You need to check her out. She's got some interesting music. So have you got a name for your book now?
I don't have a name for it. It was going to be kind of a funny detective style book,
uh-huh.
Sort of in the Christopher Moore style, or the even the Douglas Adams type, I guess. And I've decided I'm going to actually start the first one and hopefully make it into a series. And it's going to be a fictional tale of the life of a truck driver.
Neat.
And it's, you know, the main character is going to be this kind of goofy, off the wall truck driver type who gets into a lot of trouble and you know, nothing that gets him fired or, you know, gets his job taken from him, but just goofy, the goofy adventures of a truck driver. And a lot of it's going to be based on stuff that I've experienced in the past, just kind of exaggerated and, you know, made into kind of a fictionalized, funny account. And there's going to be adventures and hijinks and laughter and hopefully a lesson in each of the books, you know, of that people can learn from it. And I got to thinking about it, and it's what I know, basically. And
well, you know what I've always said: write what you know.
Well, exactly, and you know, it's what I know, and again, it's sort of a topic that you don't see much. I mean, you don't see people write about truck drivers a whole lot, unless it's more nonfiction-ish mm-hmm. type stuff. You know, I
like that.
I can't
nonfiction-ish.
Well. I mean, there's books about truckers out there, but they're more, you know, the lifestyle of a trucker or what to do if you're a trucker or, you know, mechanical type stuff. But I don't recall any authors or any series or any books that were written sort of like a fictional account of a truck driver. I mean, you know, you hear about detectives and cops and cooks and oil workers and all kinds of stuff. And, but I don't remember any about truck drivers. And I think it's a market that, you know, truck drivers are very loyal.
Yes. It'll be an absolute hoot.
Yeah. And I think it's something that could potentially, like I said, maybe turn into a series. And, you know, you when you create a good character, you know, that character can go across
mm-hmm.
many books. Obviously, I mean, there's authors who have done, you know, book series based on, you have the Jason Bourne series and the, you know, the Anne Rice books and Lestat. And, you know, when you create a great character, it doesn't have to be contained in one book. I mean, it can go across many books. And
that's true.
I'm kind of, in my mind, I think the best comparison I can think of is I'm sort of shooting for the truck driving male version of Stephanie Plum.
There you go.
From the Janet Ivanovich books. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
Don't get too deep into the weeds with it because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
And I want to bring you back and talk about it some more. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seriously running out of time here, and I apologize for the internet going down because it just screwed up the whole show. But we will be back tomorrow night, Friday night, and Saturday night with our guest. My wonderful friend Chris Plain, who always has my back, covered my ass for me when my thing went down a while ago, and I love him for it. He is magnificent. And if you have not friended him on Facebook, friend him because there's nobody like him. He has been there for me at my lowest point, and I just love you for it, Chris. You just don't know how much I love and appreciate you. You've helped my daughter and her family through things, and you are the bestest out there. So don't ever give up what you're doing. And ladies and gentlemen, go listen to his shows, his radio shows, his music, because he is the music guy, Christopher Plain. You always know what I say, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just feel special. Be special. And if you want to achieve greatness, stop asking permission. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, if you don't believe that that is your trademark, try it, because it is your trademark. I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight, even with the foobarb with AT&T, and they're disconnecting the internet for whatever reason, and my wonderful surprise calling guest, Christopher Plain, who I absolutely love. I appreciate him calling in so much. This has been a night of music and musings, and watch for my new true crimes that will be coming out, hopefully, if not this year, then sometime next year. So until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, this is Yvonne Mason on Off the Chain with Christopher Plain saying good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and listen in archives.